If you would open your Bibles with me, children, you can be dismissed to James chapter 5, starting at verse 7. James chapter 5, starting at verse 7. Everybody enjoy the extra hour of sleep this morning. Well, it's going to get dark about 3:30, so get ready. Word of the Lord says this, James chapter 5, verse starting at verse 7. Therefore, be patient. Probably some of the hardest words in the Word of God. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the preservation of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And the title of the message this morning is The Power of Patience. Power of Patience. There's a story about being patient, and we have to ask the question, is patience difficult for us? In this particular story, there was a man in Los Angeles, California, who was arrested for negligent discharge of a weapon. He shot his weapon off negligently. And the reason that he did this was he was angry at his toilet. He took out his .38 caliber and he shot the toilet 5 times. He'd had it. He'd had enough with the toilet. He claims he just got upset. He couldn't take it any longer. Have you ever felt like that? I'm just over it. I'm done with it. I can't take it. His daughter had flushed a hairbrush earlier in the day and clogged the pipes, so he shot the offending toilet. I have no word on the toilet's condition, but the man is out of patience. Can we pray? Father God, we come to you today, Lord Jesus, and we need you this morning, Lord Jesus. We need the preacher to come in and use me, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to come in and unlock our minds and illuminate our minds to the Word of God. We need the Word of God to do the work that it was sent to this world to do, and that's to teach us, Lord Jesus. And we need your Holy Spirit to help us do just that. We're asking that you would come in, that you would help us to focus, that you would help us to learn, that you would move upon us today, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and use your word to minister to us. In your name we pray. Amen. How are we with patience? It's a difficult question, and I know there's times in our life when patience is something that's it's just not readily there. It seems that we always have something that is there to try the patience that we have. We have to wait on things, and that's what tries our patience. We may have to wait in line at the grocery store. You know, when they've got 52 lines and 2 of them are open, you have to wait. You have to wait on the traffic lights. You know, when you're going through town and you're hitting all of those traffic lights just as you should, and you get to the one that you have to wait for. We have to wait on things in life. We have to wait to hear from the doctor. We have to wait to hear about a job situation. We have to wait to complete school. We have to wait to retire. We have to wait to grow up. Too bad we can't wait to grow young. We have to wait for decisions to be made on different things that we're involved in. And sometimes we have to wait on another person to make up their mind. Every day presents plenty of opportunities for training and patience, to test our patience. We can resent waiting. We can accept it. And even some of us can even get good at it. But there's one thing for certain. We cannot avoid waiting. And when I'm dealing with people, and I'm dealing with people in technical issues and in IT, I always say it's a test of my patience to wait on this technology to do it. And they say, I don't know how you deal with it. Well, that's good. I'm good at dealing with technology and patience, but I'll be the one at the stoplight yelling at the stoplight to turn because I want to get through. So patience tests us differently. Perhaps today we could hear from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, and have him speak to us about the possibilities of patience, about getting patience in our own lives in different areas. That is, if we're not in too much of a hurry to get out of here, to get to the restaurant, to get to whatever it is we have going on. You see, sometimes the church service in itself requires patience. We've got up, we've prayed a couple times, we've sang the songs, and now you get to the part where you get to hear me go on for about 45 minutes. So that may even test your patience. So it's up to us to give it to God and ask Him to help us with patience. We've all heard the saying, I need patience and I need it right now. I'm sure we've said that in our lives. And that's something that James is dealing with right here in this passage of Scripture. There's a story told of the great New England preacher, Philip Brooks. He was known for his calmness. He was also known for his poise. He was known for his patience. But his friends that knew him, however, knew that he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. The story is told, one day a friend saw him pacing the floor like a caged lion. They said, "What is the trouble, Dr. Brooks?" And he responded and said, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Have you ever felt like that before? That you're in a hurry, that you're trying to get an answer, that you've went to your prayer closet, that you've submitted your prayer, that unspoken request that we prayed about time and time again, the thing that's on your heart, the thing that's in your life, the thing that's on your mind, and God just isn't responding fast enough. We've all been there before, and I'm sure that we'll be there again. It's patience that God is asking us to have. We felt this way many times, and this is what James is going to address today. James addresses the problems that we all face and some of the problems that overwhelm us in many different ways in different areas. First, we're tempted to lose our patience. And second, we're tempted to lose our patience. And then we're tempted to go away from what God wants us to do. And thirdly, we're tempted to blame someone else on the reason that we lost our patience. So I want to look at those three things today. First, when we are tempted to lose patience, remember it will be worth the wait. Again, in James it says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient." James sets the theme of the whole section of this particular section of verse with this command right up front. In fact, he goes and he states it twice. Be patient. And you've heard me say it before. If God chooses to state something in the Word of God once, and He chooses to state it twice, it's important. James, in the matter of these two small verses, tells us to be patient twice. It's important. This word that he also uses here, therefore and so then, is part of the command. Therefore be patient, and so then be patient. The people who James is writing to were experiencing tremendous problems where they were at, and he was just trying to get them to come and to focus and saying, just hold on, be patient in this time that you're going through. They were facing difficulties, daily difficulties. Remember, the church was new. Remember that James was the pastor there at Jerusalem, and remember that they were being daily persecuted because of what they believed. So he's saying, be patient. Be patient. Hold on to your faith. In James 5, 1 and 6, the wicked and rich were oppressing and persecuting Christians, and they were getting tired of it. But the condemnation of those people was about to come, and James is saying, hold on. Just hold on. God will act. God will move. Be patient in bearing the offense and the injuries of others. This is what he was saying. This appears to be the perfect advice for what they were going through in those verses. And it's the perfect advice for us to be patient and wait upon the Lord. And the song that we just sang this morning, wait upon the Lord. There's many songs with that line that's in it. And it's hard for us to wait upon the Lord because we can't see what the Lord sees. We can't necessarily understand what the Lord is doing or what's happening in our lives. But James is encouraging us to be patient, to wait upon the Lord. We know that this passage particularly is addressed to believers because James uses the term brethren four times, verses 7, verses 9, verses 10, and verses 12, and he's referring to the people of God. And it's amazing when we read the Word of God and we think it applies to people other than us, but many times it's talking to us. Paul, many times throughout his Gospels, was referring to us, the believers. And James here is again referring to the church. He's telling the Christian, he's telling the believer, he's telling the church, be patient. In Greek, it means long-tempered. The words translated patience comes from a combination of two Greek words, one which means far away, and one which means anger or heat of rage. And it's not just a passive resignation, you're just over it, but it's an attitude of self-restraint that enables one to refrain from a hasty retaliation in the face of a provocation. So we can put ourselves in a situation where someone is coming against us and we want to lash out. The idea is we have patience. We step back, we think, we wait upon the Lord. We see what the Lord wants to do in every situation. And again, each time and each way our patience is tested is always different, and we respond differently to those types of scenarios. We also look at patience as one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a characteristic of who we are as God's people. When we come into the kingdom of God, when the Holy Spirit fills us, the fruit of the Spirit begin to display themselves in us, and patience is one of those fruits of the Spirit, and it's one of the difficult ones, and it seems like most of the fruits of the Spirit are not things that we want to do out of the kindness of their heart. Amen? It's not something that's built within us. It's because it's not. It's not from us. It's not from our mortality. It's not from who we are. It's from the throne room of heaven. Those fruits of the Spirit, I don't have time this morning to go into each one of them, but these are characteristics that God is placing in our lives. In the portion, hopefully, that we need, in the portion, hopefully, that we're letting Him place into our lives, it's the Holy Spirit working in us. And patience is one of those. It's one of those things that it doesn't always come easily. There's a price to pay for patience. It's not an easy road. It's not a wide road. An easy road is impatience. I want it, and I want it now. And that's how our world acts today, right? If we can't have it now, then I'm out. Or if I'm not like Burger King and I can't have it my way, then I'm out. And that's the world that we live in. But that's not the world that God gives to us. That's not the world He gives to us. He says, be patient. We've all experienced the hurt and mistreatment like the Christians here were facing, maybe not to the same degree that they were, but we've been mistreated. We've been mistreated as people. We've been mistreated as believers. We've even been mistreated from the church. And these hurts come in a variety of forms. Work situations, domestic conflicts, family and relatives, people who take or try to take advantage of us, friends or so-called friends who will turn their back on us, people that believe false things about us. And we can go down the list of all the hurtful circumstances that we face. Yet in the midst of these things, James is saying, be patient. But our natural tendency is probably to retaliate. You're going to act like that towards me. You're going to put your fist ups towards me. Then I'm going to retaliate with that same thing. Return evil for evil. That's how our world operates. And that's how our mortality works. To get even or to hold a grudge or become bitter in some way, shape, or form, I'm going to retaliate against that situation. But James says there's a better way to respond to these circumstances that are presented to us. Remember James, the pastor of the church of Jerusalem, he reveals this to his congregation. He says that God is calling the Christian to overcome our natural reaction with a supernatural response. He's calling us to look to the supernatural. He's calling us to look to the Holy Spirit to help us in these situations. He's saying, in spite of the things that you want to do, in spite of the things that are in you, in spite of retaliating the way that the world would do, look to Jesus Christ. Look to God. See what our Lord would do. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 2:18. He says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For it is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable for God. You see, anyone can endure when things are going well, when life is good, when everything's where it needs to be, when you wake up in the morning and the birds are singing and the temperature is exactly right and the coffee's already brewing and you're ready to go. It's easy to endure, isn't it? But on those days when things aren't going exactly as they should, when you receive the news in the beginning of the day that kind of sets the tone for the whole day, or you walk into a situation that you weren't expecting, or when something happens and that thing within you flips and you begin to be impatient, you begin to be hurtful, you begin to act in an incorrect way. It's also easy to endure suffering as a result of something that we put on ourselves. We could call it sin, not always sin, but in something, a situation we put ourselves in. You know, we've said this before, I've done it to myself. I did this, I accidentally did. Those things are easy to endure, but it's hard to respond when we're treated unfairly. It's hard to endure. It's hard to have patience when we've done the things that we're supposed to do and the whole world seems like it's coming against us. When we've done the things that we're supposed to do and the response that we get back is not what we thought we should get. When we've done the things that we thought were right and what we've got in return is not the response that we were hoping for, or even worse than the response for the response that we were hoping for, James says, have patience. He says, endure. If we respond in such a supernatural way, Peter says that God is pleased. He says twice in that passage, this finds favor with God. The word favor in Greek is charis, and it's the same word used for grace. When we respond in this way, God sees grace. God begins to deploy grace to us, if you will. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need grace today. I need grace. I need uncommon grace, as we've talked about in the past. I need for God to give me the grace sometimes to get through the day or to get through the situation that I'm in, or to give me grace to get past what's going on in this life that we're living. God considers patient endurance of injustice. He considers it, and he deploys grace, something that is commendable because it's beyond what we want to do. It's beyond what our human capability is. It truly is supernatural. When we can sit back, we can be patient, we can give it to God, we can look to God for what we need to do. James reveals that the incentive to be patient is the coming of the Lord. He says it's the coming of the Lord. Our incentive to be patient is the anticipation of the return of the Lord. The word he uses for coming in Greek means a presence or an advent. We look forward to his second coming, to what he is coming for us, to come back and to rapture his church. That's what we look forward to. It's spoken about in Matthew 24:3, and Paul refers to it again in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. We are waiting upon the Lord. So here we are again. We have both a physical attribute that in my life, right now, with whatever situation I'm going through, I need to wait and be patient on the Lord. And spiritually, I love when the Holy Spirit does this. Spiritually, I need to wait upon the Lord because the Lord's coming back again. So right now I have something to cling on to. Right now I have something that I need to do. But I know when that eastern sky breaks on that morning, whenever God chooses to come back and rapture his church, that I'll be waiting upon the Lord. Amen? Both a physical and a spiritual. He says, wait, be patient, for the Lord is coming back again. James is exhorting us. He's exhorting the body of Christ. He's exhorting Christians to wait patiently, both in the now and in the future when Christ returns. Three times James reminds us of the coming of the Lord, verses 7, 8, and 9. This is the blessed hope of the Christians, what it tells us in Titus. James also gives us the classic illustration of patience when he refers to the farmer that waits. And we think about the farmers, and we think about as we see the crops in their different seasons. If we were to go out and we were to leave right now, we would see the fields and states where most of the harvest has either been taken in or it's being taken in, and we see the fields just done with. Now, the farmer has reaped that crop now, but do you think that farmer is going to quit? Do you think he's done? He knows he's not done. The farmer knows that after he reaps the crop, the process has to start all over again. He knows that now that the crop's in, he's got to go back out and he's got to till the land again. And he's got to go out and plant the seed again. And then he's got to go out and take care of the seed again. And then the process goes on and on and on. The process with patience with us is just like that. There's always something to be done. There's always something in the kingdom of God. Once we complete something or once the seed is planted, we move on to the next area that God has put us onto, that God has moved us into. There's never a time when we just let off the wheel and just let it go. While we are waiting on the second coming of the Lord, we are not exhorted to put on the white robes, to sit back and to just sing hymns and praises and drink all the communion and eat all the wafers. That's not what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to continue to go out and to be occupied. To be occupied in the thing that God has called us into. To the ministry that he's placed us in, whether it's a ministry in the church, whether it's a ministry out in the world, whether it's a ministry as someone that goes as a missionary, whether it's a mission, whether it's a ministry as someone out on your job or walking through your whatever God has called you to do, he's saying go out and do that thing until it's time to do the next thing again. Go out and tell people about him. Go out and spread the message of faith and grace. We go back and we look at some of the greatest missionaries of history as they devoutly spread the word of God through these foreign lands, as they went out to these places where most people would not want to go. They had to go out and they had to wait long periods before they ever saw the fruit of their ministry. What are you saying, Pastor? I want to read some of these things to you and tell you about some of these people. And I want you to think about your ministry. I want you to think about the people that you've shared the message of faith and grace with. Because sometimes it's easy to be impatient. Well, I talked to them last week. Why haven't they got saved yet? Well, they told me about it and I told them about Jesus and they just didn't respond. It was 2 hours ago I talked to them. We're impatient. We're impatient as a society. We're impatient as a people. But when we look back on some of these ministries, William Carey labored 7 years before the first Hindu convent was ever brought to Christ in Burma. 7 years. Think about that. He got up every day in that foreign land and did what God called him to do before the first one. The first one came in 7 years. In Western Africa, it was 14 years. In New Zealand, it took 9 years. In Tahiti, it was 16 years. It takes time. Personally, when we set the seed, personally, when people see us live our lives, personally, when someone comes and they share and we share the message of faith with other people, we need to be patient as a body. Well, Crossway's been over there for going on 10 years now. I don't know what they're not doing right. I can tell you, God's got us exactly where he wants us to be. Amen. God has got his hand upon this. We are a remnant. God is using us. Don't give up hope. Don't give up the fight. Don't stop inviting people. Don't stop telling people about the message of faith and grace. God is going to use this body. Amen. Amen. Don't give up. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. The word patience means to endure under. You don't really need patience when everything around you is going right. It's not something that you lean on when everything is going right. You need it when life is hard. You need it when your spiritual life is difficult. That's when you need patience. Suffering and patience seem to go hand in hand. And as a matter of fact, the Bible talks about tribulation working patience in the life of the believer. So God designed it that way. The Lord designed it that way, that tribulation brings patience to us. James gives the reader two examples of this, of why we should be patient. The first is the Old Testament prophets in verse 10. They give an example that you will need patience when you are mistreated. He says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord and as an example of suffering and patience. Jesus explained the plight of the prophets in the parable of the vineyard in Luke 20. He provided the prophets amidst the difficult circumstances, provided a challenging example of suffering patience. And that's what Christ referred to. In 2 Timothy 3 and 12, we're reminded that all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So why are we surprised when the times of trying come? Why are we surprised when the persecution comes? Why are we surprised when the tribulation comes? Well, Pastor, I understand it from the world, but I don't understand it from the church. Jesus was persecuted by his own people. Church there in Jerusalem by his own leaders. He was persecuted. We are going to be persecuted for what we believe. We're going to be tried. Tribulation is going to come. Those prophets, God honored them in every way that he could. He used them mightily in those times. But this did not guarantee their escape from persecution from the world, and it doesn't guarantee our escape from persecution from the world. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say, if you place your faith in God, that you won't be persecuted. I just read to you there in 2 Timothy that persecution is going to come. We should expect persecution to come. And although it's not there in 2 Timothy, I'll tell you that the more you're doing right for God, listen to me this morning, the more you're going his way, the more he's using you, expect the persecution. Expect the tribulation. Because Satan, when he sees that you're going God's way, when he sees that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, when Satan and his minions see that God is working mightily through you, expect the tribulation. He's going to try to come against you. He's going to come against you. He wants to stop what's in your life. Especially when you begin to have your spirit illuminated to the message of faith and grace, to the message of who Jesus Christ is, to the message that it's not about a man, a plan, or a program, or a place, that it's all about him. When that begins to happen, Satan begins to work overtime on you because he doesn't want you to know that it's your faith in Jesus Christ that sets you free from those things. It's important. It's important that we have patience. And it's important we know why the tribulation's coming. That brings us to our second example. Job, the patriarch, chapter 5. It says, indeed, chapter 5, verse 11, it says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. He brings up Job to us. He talks about him. He lets us know. We all remember the story and what Job went through. Job needed patience, and he didn't even know why. He didn't even know what was going on for a time. We need patience sometimes, and we don't know why. And Job is a wonderful example of endurance. And I pray that you or I or anyone in this church never has to go through what Job went through. In the face of all the unexplained things that were happening to Job, go back and read it. Go back and see what happened to him. He is the model of endurance. Tremendous, under tremendous testing. Tremendous testing. Testing that hopefully we never have to endure in our own lives. Job is the model of that. Job was blessed above every other man in his day. He was prosperous. He had a wonderful family, and it seemed that he had everything that his heart could desire. And suddenly, devastation sets upon him. Remember? Devastation. He begins to lose everything, his property, his possessions, his family. He begins to lose his health. And think about that in your mind for just a little while. You begin to lose your property and the things that you have and your family. And you think, if I just have my health, I can get it all back. If I can just go out and do what I did before, I can get it all back. And then Satan begins to attack his health, which began to attack him mentally, no doubt, in his spirit, no doubt. And Job's sitting there with all these things against him. The only thing he had left were his wife and the little life that he had left within his soul. all he had left. Satan had taken everything from him. God said, don't take his life. Job didn't understand what was happening. He didn't necessarily understand why. No doubt he might have wanted to go have a little chat with God when he got to heaven and say, what was that all about? That was really difficult. And God said, I'm going to use that message, Job, for the tens of thousands of millions that come after so they can see your endurance. He didn't understand why, but he knew that he was in God's hands. He knew it. He had his faith planted in God. All those thousands of years ago, he had his faith in God. Even in the confusion, he cried out to the Lord. Even to not know what was going on, even though his wife told him to reject the Lord, you remember, he kept his faith in God. It's a picture to us. It's a source of encouragement to us. Job knew his life was in God's hands. He didn't understand what was happening. He didn't understand why it was happening, but he cried out in confusion to the Lord. It was the outcome that vindicated Job. The end of the Lord, the end of the tribulation is what we're looking at there. So when we're tempted to lose patience, remember, it'll be worth the wait. It was worth the wait to Job. It was worth the wait to the prophets. It will be worth the wait to us. Secondly, when we are tempted to lose perspective, strengthen your relationship with Christ. Anchor your faith even more in the cross. Seek God for who he is. Seek the cross. Seek what was done there. Place your faith at an even stronger level. In the second portion of verse 8, James utters another command. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish your hearts. That's the second command. He says, instead of feeling agitated, instead of feeling shaken up by the experience of oppression that's upon you, you need to develop a sense of inner stability. When the world is breaking loose upon you, when the things that are coming against you are coming against you full tilt, full throttle, when everything seems to be falling in, James says, have that inner stability based on your faith in Jesus Christ. Know who he is and know what he's done. We are told in verse 8 to establish or strengthen our hearts. This is a charge to us as patiently waiting Christians to firmly establish our hearts in God's word and in faith in Jesus Christ, to strengthen our faith in that time when we don't know what's going on. In the time of tribulation, don't go crazy. Have you ever felt that way before? I don't know what's coming next. I don't know what's going to happen. James says, place your faith in Jesus Christ. Place your faith in him because he's going to see you through it. Even though things are crumbling around you, put your faith in him. Look to his word. Strengthen yourself so that sin and temptation and the trials of the world don't come in and crumble you. That's why this message is so important. Because on a daily basis, those trials and tribulations come in, sometimes a lot worse than others. He's saying, place your faith daily in him. That way, when the trials and tribulations come in, you know what to do. You know how to handle it. You know where to go. Strengthening your heart has to do with supporting something that is heavy. When you've been done wrong, your heart becomes heavy. To strengthen our heart is to strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ. To let the Holy Spirit do the surgical work, spiritual surgical work, on our heart that's needed to be done. You've heard me say it time and time again, the Holy Spirit can do more in us in seconds than this world can ever think about doing, than any counselor can think about doing. He can do it. Let him do the work on your heart. Three things we can do to strengthen our hearts. Faith in Jesus Christ. Prayer and attention to Scripture builds faith, knowing what God has done. We often neglect things when the tribulation comes. We're just trying to keep our head above water when the tribulation comes. But strengthening our heart also requires fellowship with other Christians. It's important that we come together. It's important that we come together and we sing praises to his name. It's important that we come together and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's important that we come together as the body and celebrate Jesus Christ for who he is and for what he's done, because that helps to build up the body. There's a purpose for it. Sure, you can sit at home and you can watch Christian TV. Sure. But God meant for us to be together as a family, to not forsake each other, to be there when we need each other in our time of need, to provide that added measure of faith. So when we're tempted to lose perspective, strength relationship with the Lord is key. And just give me a few more moments. Third, when we're tempted to blame others, grumbling is not going to help. Verse 9 says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Impatient with our circumstances leads us to being impatient with God. In turn, leads us to being impatient with other people. We begin to grumble. When we start to feel the tribulation, when we start to feel things come in against us, we complain. Probably the best picture you can get is when you're on the job. There's always a complainer on the job, isn't there? Someone that wants to go around and tell you how bad things are and this and that and the other. They want to tell you that whatever the gloom and doom of the day is, it's going to happen to you. You know, they want to just get you, bring you down with them wherever they're at. It happens on jobs every day. I hear it all the time. We begin to grumble. I think that's kind of where the human race kind of defaults to. That's where the government defaults to. They like to grumble a lot. James says, don't grumble. He's speaking to the church, remember? He's telling the church, don't grumble. Don't grumble. Believer, don't grumble. Your joy is in the Lord. Your hope is in the Lord. It's not in these things that you see. In verse 9, James issues another command, grumble not. Literally that. There's no other word for it. That's exactly what it says. But he's talking to the church. And he's talking to this human tendency that we have to grumble. He says, don't do it. Don't default to that, because it's so easy, isn't it? It's easy to default to, oh my gosh, did you see what happened? You know what? The Buckeyes lost yesterday. I was grumbling about that. But you know what? God is good. God is still sitting on the right hand of the Father, amen? My joy is not in a football team. My joy is in my Savior, amen? My joy is not in this world or the things of this world. My joy and my faith are in Jesus Christ and crucified. James is saying, look past. Have patience. Look past, for he's coming back again. Amen. He's coming back again. James says that this behavior must be abandoned, lest you be condemned. Imminent judgment should remind the Christian that Jesus has prohibited believers from judging one another. We shouldn't grumble against one another. In Luke 6 and 37, it says this, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." It's our job as believers to forgive, to not grumble. Yes, things happen. Yes, things need to be dealt with. Yes, things aren't always, cotton candy and roses. But we need to not grumble about them. The worst thing that can hurt a church is gossip and grumble. When people begin to go off their own ways, they begin to gossip and grumble, and they get away from the message of faith. That's why it's so important that we have the message of faith right from the head, all the way down through everything that we do. The message of faith and grace resides in us, because we all have the same outcome. We all have the same means. We all have the same thing at hand. We can't grumble about it. You can't grumble about the cross. You can't grumble about faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why it's important. That's why it's key. And that's why James is warning the church. Paul speaks to the believer, to the believer's presence at the judgment seat. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, he says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Judging one another is a bad idea, because the judge, the real judge, Jesus Christ, is near. It says that he was before the door, literally facing the door, getting ready to pull the door open. Jesus Christ, the judge, the one who will judge us, is getting ready to open the door of heaven and judge the church, his believers, his people. James is warning against it. Paul is warning against it. James says, look, Christ may return at any time. He is literally standing at the door. He may open that door at any minute and walk in. So he had better find you waiting patiently, standing firm and not grumbling against one another, or else you will be judged. When we get to heaven, we don't want to be judged for gossiping and grumbling and things like that. Hopefully the Holy Spirit and the sanctification process has had enough time to work in us, amen, to get those things out of us, amen, to replace these worldly, mortal things that we have in us with the fruits of the Spirit, and patience is one of them, to work on us, to do the things James is simply warning as a pastor of Jerusalem, as a pastor here listed in the Word of God. Don't do these things. Avoid grumbling to others. Take action first. Take it to the cross first. Be careful not to think first and pray last, or talk first and pray last. We should always pray. Be careful to show love, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:4. To be careful to find out the facts. How many times have we spoken out of turn because we didn't know the facts? Because we listened to gossip? Because we thought we knew what was happening and we didn't know it all? Be patient. Be careful to consider Jesus Christ. Forgive as we have been forgiven. In closing this morning, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, irrespective as to what it seems like the Lord may be doing in our lives, irrespective to what's going on in our lives, how hurtful things may be at times, whatever he does, whatever God does, whatever he allows in our life, just as he allowed things to be done in the life of Job, is all meant for good. You don't know what that's going to do in your life. You don't know how others are looking at you at that time. You don't know the ministry or the testimony you may get from that. I'm not saying it's going to be joyful, but we don't know what God is doing, but we can have faith that it's all meant for good. Everything that God does is a product of his tender mercy. And remember, the endurance, the patience provides grace. It's hard for us to see these things. It's difficult, especially when we're in the middle of tribulation. But we can see here that Scripture plainly tells us that all real victory is found in the cross. The cross always justifies God. Every single time, the cross always condemns ourselves. It always condemns man. When we put the cross in the focus, when we place our faith in the cross, it always lifts up Jesus Christ every single time without a doubt. And it always brings us to a place where we need to ask for forgiveness. As we read the story of Job, we saw that the Lord controls everything. And you can be guaranteed this morning that the Lord controls everything in your life. The things around you, what's going on, the answers that you're petitioning to God right now, he's controlling it. Place your faith in him. He's going to help you. He's going to work it out. The wise Christian understands these things. They submit to God's will. The wise Christian understands that the Holy Spirit is working things out within our hearts, within our lives, and he's bringing us closer and closer to him. That the sanctification process is taking place and making us more like Christ. It's not easy. Usually, in fact, it's never easy. This is a difficult message. Be patient. It's difficult for me. I'm not a patient person all the time. It's not an easy message for self, for anyone's self, because we don't come to the end of self on our own. We don't come to the end of self quickly or easily. It takes the Holy Spirit to do the work in our life, to do what God needs to do. To be what we ought to be, every Christian is going to have a Job experience. Listen to me this morning. Every Christian is going to have a Job experience. We're going to go through a time in our life when we feel like God may be 10,000 miles away. We're going to go through a time in our life when we feel that things are crumbling around us. We're going to go through a time in our life and we're going to look back on it and say, that was my Job experience. Know that God means the best for you. Have patience. Know that in the physical world, He's going to do what needs to be done. And know in the spiritual world that He's coming again. The Holy Spirit is going to take care of you. He's going to do what is necessary in each situation. So as we close, first, when we're tempted to lose patience, remember that it's worth the wait. That patience on God is worth it every single time. You'll remember how Satan took Jesus to the highest point of Jerusalem and he said, all of this can be yours. He tempted him and said, you can have it now. And Jesus endured and he showed patience even to the cross, so that he could bring relationship back through the cross. Secondly, when we're tempted to lose our perspective, we need to place our faith more strongly in the Word of God, more strongly in the cross. The world may have a different way. Mankind may have a different way. The church may even have a different way. But God, through James, is saying, place your faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And third, when we're tempted to blame others, James warns us, don't grumble. Take it to the cross. Do what needs to be done. So the message this morning is patience. Crossway Community Church, have patience. The Lord is going to use you. You may look in the mortal body. You may look in the physical and you may say, Pastor, I don't see it. Have faith. God is going to use you. We're in His will. We're doing exactly what He called us to do. In your personal life, you may be praying for people. In your personal life, you may be reaching out to Him. He's saying, have patience. Trust in me. Place your faith in me, and I'm going to do what needs to be done. Patiently wait upon Him. Father God, we come to you today, Lord Jesus. And Lord, even though the message I feel sometimes is difficult, and Lord, I know for me personally, patience sometimes is difficult in some areas. And I know as we think about this each individually, patience is something that we struggle with, Lord Jesus. But I thank you for the word through the Holy Spirit, through James, Lord Jesus, to the church, to your believers, Lord, to have patience, to wait upon the Lord to do His will and His way. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you all the glory and all the honor this morning. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming and being with us.